Hi, Jane Knights, and welcome back to the What the Austin podcast, and welcome back to the Taylor Swift times Jane Austen series.
And this is the last one, guys. Wow, what journey we've been on. What a Taylor times Austen journey we've been on. The last novel I have on the list is Mansfield Park. So, Anne, do you want to go first?
Sure. I have, for my first one, I feel like there are several Taylor Swift songs that have the same theme as this particular song. But I chose this one just because I feel like it fit Fanny the best because it's from Taylor Swift's self-titled first album. And I think that she's a little bit more timid in that. Like, Fanny is a little bit more timid, but it's called Invisible. So I don't know if you guys even remember that one. It's kind of like I feel like it's a more obscure track, but I feel like that's how she feels about Edmund. There's a line that says, "And you can't see me wanting you the way that you want her." Obviously that's Mary and the whole Edmund, Mary, Fanny thing. I just want to show you, she don't even know you. And obviously Mary does not know Edmund at all because he wants to be a clergyman and she kind of makes fun of that. And even going along with that, like she says, we could be a beautiful miracle instead of just invisible. And so it does feel like, you know, her, like, I feel like Fanny feels very invisible or is very invisible, and her love for him is very kind of invisible. He doesn't get it. And then I also like the fact that she uses the word miracle because she also says she's never going to see the light. And those are both kind of like slightly religious-y kind of terms. And I feel like Fanny and, you know, and Edmund are much more into like their faith and the clergy and all of that. And so it's kind of like that we could be a beautiful miracle and she's never going to see the light of faith or like, you know, be like you or accept what you want to do for a career. And then just to kind of dovetail with that, the two songs that were kind of like backups that I thought like had a similar theme are Tolerate It and Teardrops on My Guitar, because they're both about that kind of like being a little bit invisible and not that person, like not getting it. I hate Edmund. I think a lot of us do, but it's just like, oh, you don't get it. You don't deserve Fanny.
So true. I feel like I'm going to have to do some sort of deep character dive on Edmund to try and see if there's some redeeming qualities there, because they're honestly surface level. There's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I love those picks. Tolerate It's one of my favorites. And I can totally see Fanny feeling that way with Edmund, because, oh, Mansfield Park frustrates me. I never used to like it that much when I was younger. And then in 2020, I read it twice. And I absolutely love it now, but it's not a romance novel by any stretch. And you can kind of see why other people want her to end up with Henry Crawford. And he's not perfect, but actually he's a little bit more fun. I think I would have gone for Henry Crawford over Edmund, obviously before he runs off with her cousin. But yeah, I think he sees more in her than Edmund does, even if he's a bit of a dodgy character.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I totally agree, for sure. And did you have any more on your list for Mansfield?
Yeah, so I think that I just dovetail off of what you were saying. I absolutely agree with that. And I feel like it's interesting because it just shows with Henry, like, which is what something that Taylor Swift does a lot. And I feel like what Jane Austen is doing is she's showing like you could have been, it could have been like great. Like, I don't think Fanny really ever thought that he could have been great, but I think we, the reader, see, like, we kind of fall a little bit in love with him. And we think, if only you would just change this one thing. And I feel like Taylor does that a lot in her songs. If only this one thing would have been different, we would have been great. You know, if you had done this one thing differently, like, we could have had this great love story. And so I like that connection with that, of what you were saying with that, Martha. But kind of going along with that, this is a one where I had two companion because they go together, is Cardigan and Betty is definitely, like, to me, that is like Fanny. She's definitely the old car is like, I think, let's see, what's the lyric? Just like a old cardigan, I put you on again, or something like that. Like, he's comforting and he's familiar, but yeah. And I know this isn't the meaning of the song, but I kind of think of Fanny as like an old cardigan, like for Edmund too. Like, he's like, okay, I'll just put on my old cardigan. I just like, I can't have the expensive designer one. So,
yes.
And Betty, you know, is just sort of like from the guy's perspective, but they're companion songs, but, and even August with, you could say there were some things with Mary, but that whole thing from Folklore, I think, matches that story pretty well.
Love it.
And then my last one is actually one that made me smile, and it's not about Fanny, it's about Mariah. And I'm thinking when she sees Henry, the song that just starts playing, like if I could make my own movie version of it, the song that would start playing is Ready For It from Reputation.
Yes. Oh my God, that literally just played in my head when you were saying it. When you said like there's something that plays in my head, I was like, I swear to God, it's going to be Ready For It.
And it's just like, I see how this is going to go. Touch me and you'll never be alone. No one has to know. In the middle of the night, you should see the things that we do in my dreams. Like, that is 100% her song for him.
I love that. That is such a good pick. Yeah,
I want to see that scene. There's never been a good to me adaptation of Mansfield Park. I want it my ideal Mansfield Park, but I just want that scene for Henry to walk in and Mariah to just in slow motion, like turn and her jaw just drop. And it's like, are you ready for it? And then it's like Henry walking in slow motion with that bom, bom, bom. Somebody make that, please. Taylor, make this. Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
exactly. Help on our podcast. And you're going to make a movie, make Mansfield Park and make it right.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I feel like I should send this out to Taylor Swift's team, see if it can make her way there. Like, we know you like Jane Austen. Listen to the episode.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That's amazing. Martha, do you have any similar to add, or what picks did you go for Mansfield?
No, so mine aren't similar, but when I was thinking of Fanny's favourite album, I think it would be Folklore. So I like that you kind of linked it to like the trilogy of songs from that album.
Yep, I saw that too. I think the whole novel reminds me of Folklore. It's kind of like that slower pace and, you know, all that.
Yeah, so I've got a song from Folklore, a song from Midnights, and a song from Fearless. So I'm going to start with the Fearless one because it's Untouchable, which is one of my favourite songs, and I think it's really underrated. Mm. And I've actually done a series, which I haven't finished posting because I got waylaid, of Bridgerton, Taylor Swift, like, crossovers on my Bookstagram. And it all started with Untouchable because I think that this is Penelope pining for Colin, like 100%. So I did a series of linking the Bridgerton novels to Taylor Swift albums because there was 9 novels and 9 albums. Obviously now there's 10 albums. But that kind of started that for me. And I think that that is like Fanny pining for Edmund. And I think Untouchable is such a beautiful song. And it's full of so much hope, but it's also full of quite a lot of like sorrow as well. So mm-hmm. that was kind of my first one. And I love that song. And I think it's really underrated. It's one of my favorites.
You know, I cannot immediately think of it. I'm gonna have to go listen to it because I cannot immediately think of which one that is.
Oh, put it on. It's really good.
I will.
That was one that I forgot about as well until I started prepping for this. And then I was like, that's such a good song, actually.
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the US, or Rob, who flew his entire family of 7 to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
Yeah, because there's a bit like, it's like, come on, say that we'll be together. So it's all about like wanting to be with that person and like pining for them in like overnight and stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
So that's my first one. And then I had This Is Me Trying, which I think is just a Fanny anthem, bless her. Like, she goes through a lot of stuff and she's in mm-hmm. really difficult situations and she's trying to like manage everyone's expectations of her. And she has to put up with Aunt Norris, who is just really hard work. And I think that that one links in really nice with my kind of final pick, which is You're On Your Own, Kid, because she so is. And she's sent away to live with her family, like her other family, because her mum and dad can't really afford to have her at home. So she's sent to this big house as a young child and kind of just left there. And she never chooses her situation. She's put into these difficult situations and like in your on you're on your own kid, like she goes to parties and she's trying to get the attention of this guy and it just doesn't work. She tries to change herself and it doesn't work. So I really felt that.
Yeah.
And then my kind of bonus track,
oh yes,
she is not Fanny, but I wish she had it as an anthem, is Bejeweled. Like I wish she could hear that song and then realize that she deserves better than Edmund. Yeah. Because I feel like we don't get that character progression from Fanny, but in a dream world, she would actually realize that, like, putting someone first only works when you're in their top five. She is not in Edmund's top five, so she needs to move on.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, I love that. And I love that Mansfield Park, I always compare it to a Cinderella, like it's kind of a Cinderella sort of tale. And then the fact that Taylor Swift did the Bejeweled music video with a Cinderella, it makes all the connections. I never thought about that, but yeah. that's really fun. I like that better than what I said for Anne. I wish in my dream world Anne would do that, but I actually like it better for Fanny.
I love it. Just before I call out my picks then, I'd like to say a little bit about our sponsor, House of Bennet. If, like me, you love taking a break from your modern life to escape into Jane Austen's world of handwritten letters, romantic rendezvous, and long walks in the countryside, you will love the House of Bennet shop. House of Bennet offers stickers, pins, jewellery, totes, shirts, and so much more, all themed around your favourite classic literature and period dramas, including Jane Eyre, Anne of Green Gables, Little Women, and of course, the works of Jane Austen. Head over to houseofbennet.com, that's HAUSOF, BENNET.com, and use my code WhatTheDiscount for 15% off at the checkout. So once again, that's houseofbennet.com and use my code WhatTheDiscount for 15% off. Great. Shall I run through some of my picks for Mansfield Park? Okay, so yeah, the first one that I had on the list was You Belong With Me from Fearless, because I feel like that's very much like a Fanny Edmund situation. Where she's kind of like longing. It makes me think about the music video as well. She stood at the window with the sign and she's like, they're like communicating and stuff. And I feel like it's someone that's obviously been in your life for a long time and it's not progressed anywhere, but you know it should, and that you kind of got this connection and everything. And also I feel like the points that she makes, like with the other girl being like cheer captain and she's like, and I'm on the bleachers. I don't actually know what the bleachers are, because we don't have that in the UK, so I actually have no idea what that is, but I'm guessing it's something that's maybe not as cool as cheer captain, I suppose. But
oh no, so bleachers is like a stadium, like the seats in a stadium. So it's like she's cheer captain, and so she's just kind of like the fan, like in the stadium, like sitting on the seats in the sidelines.
Oh my god, I literally never knew that. I thought it was like some kind of club she was in.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that was an American word, but yeah, like if you're like go to like a sports stadium and like the like bench seats where there's no back to them, and that's what bleachers are.
I really hope
it's like a bench, rows of bench
I seats. Hope it's an American word. I'm not just like
it is an American word, but I watch a lot of like American teen rom-coms where they always like kiss under the bleachers, don't they? Or like they meet under the bleachers for like secret conversations.
I'm cracked myself up.
I love
I
that.
Thought that was a club though. I genuinely thought it was a club until this moment. Okay, I can't even remember when I started listening to Taylor Swift. I think I was in primary school. So I've lived a lot of like my life thinking that was a club. So so funny.
I love it. That's hysterical. Well, to be fair, I definitely, like I said, I have family in Manchester, and the first time I visited when I was 15, they said a lot of things that I had no idea what they were, like jumper for a sweater, because we used to call jumpers back then they're like an all-in-one kind of dress with like sleeveless, it's like would put like a dress,
oh like a jumper, like a sleeveless dress. Yeah, over
yeah, like a jumper dress, yeah, exactly. And so I had no idea. They kept saying like, you know, you should wear a jumper, it's cold, and I'm like, we're supposed to wear a dress, like why will that make me warmer? So yeah. Don't worry about it.
Oh my god, I can't wait to tell Kaylee about the fact that I thought bleachers was a club. She's gonna crack her up. We always love talking about like the different words that we use, so that's hilarious.
It's fun.
But yeah, I feel like You Belong With Me is very much Fanny pining for Edmund, and this person that's been close to her in her life, but she's not managed to capture yet. And then the next one I had on the list is Mean, because I feel like that's very much a Fanny Mrs. Norris dynamic. Like, why have you got to be so mean? And like a Fanny holding on to the thing that one day her being like a good person is going to pay off. And I feel like that obviously that song's very much about that. It's like, I'm going to stay true to my morals and myself, and you're in the end, all you're ever going to be is mean. And I think that is very much Mrs. Norris. Like, she just ends up having to go and live with Mariah, and she's just, nothing works out for her in the end because she was such a nasty person.
I love that.
And then the third pick that I had, which this is really going to play into like my perception of Fanny, as opposed to like Fanny being super sweet, you know, my perception that Fanny's maybe got a little bit more of a calculated side. And that is, like, once Fanny wins, is her singing Karma to Mary Crawford and being like, I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know what that means. Because I feel like Fanny very much sees Mary Crawford as being kind of like this corrupt individual, and that she's like kind of angelic in comparison. I thought that would be really funny if Fanny was like basically being like, and Karma's my boyfriend, because like she gets Edmund because she was like the decent person all along.
I love that you've just basically said that Mary Crawford is the Kanye of Fanny's story.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's actually genius. Oh yeah.
Or the Scooter Braun, like trying to steal her, trying to steal her boyfriend instead of Master's boyfriend.
I love it. And then I did have two extras for Mansfield. One of them was Teardrops on My Guitar. You know, yeah. that whole dynamic is very Mansfield Park and Fanny kind of pining. And then I had another pick as well, and I feel like this plays into the whole like Mary Crawford being potentially being more of the heroine of the story than Fanny, just because she's, you know, got more of the qualities of the usual heroines. And that is that Mary Crawford singing The Man, you know, like that being like her, because I feel like she's very outspoken and bold, and I just think like it's like I think she's got very like modern day female traits, you know, like out of a lot of the characters, I can really see her thriving in like a modern day world that we focus more on like personality. And she's got very strong personalities, very outspoken, more extroverted. And I feel like she'd be the kind of person that would really be trying to thrive in potentially like a male dominated world, but would be there like, I could get here quicker, you know, if it wasn't for the system. So... Yeah, that was my final.
Definitely.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, to play off of that, I actually had a bonus one that was I did something bad from Reputation for Mary Crawford, because it was sort of like, I did something bad and why did it feel so good? And they're burning all the witches. Like, it's that same kind of thing that she's sort of like the player of that time. And Henry can get away with it, but she can't get away with it. So yeah, I actually had a similar thought but only with that song.
Yes.
I like that.
And I think a lot of Mary's dynamic is she's like so frustrated with Edmund because she knows that he's got so many more opportunities than she could ever have. And she's like, please don't squander the opportunities that you have. Like, you could really achieve anything that you want to. Obviously, it's more important to actually do the thing that you want, whatever career that is, something that you're going to enjoy. But I feel like Mary has like this perception that it's like, you know, if you've got the opportunities, take them. I feel it. Do we have any other bonus tracks from Mansfield Park you want to chat about?
No, I don't.
Mm-mm.
I feel like there's some fun picks there. And again, we've picked like different stuff, which is so good.
It was so fun because I was really surprised by a lot of the things that you guys picked. And then when you told your reasons, it's so fun to see how someone like finds that way in of how it works. And it's just like, why didn't I think of that? It's so obvious now. I love it.
Yeah. And also like what elements of the stories we hold on to the most. Like, it makes me think like with the Emma situation, I was like, oh, the Miss Bates situation a bit more, but you and were saying more about like the Jane Fairfax scenario.
Yeah.
And Martha was like more on the like the Knightley Emma thing. And I was like, isn't that interesting? Like the elements of the story that we are drawn to. Not that I think I'm like, for whatever reason, I'm drawn to a Miss Bates scenario. I don't know what that says about me, but there we go.
Well, I guess it's just like the scenes and things that stand out in your mind. And like, I definitely thought a lot about, I really like Emma Knightley. See, I didn't like Emma when I first read it, and I just didn't like her personality at all. And I think I always felt like a lot of sympathy for Jane Fairfax. So I think that's why she stands out. And I feel sorry for her that she's going to end up with someone like Frank Churchill. I think that's why she stands out. But now that I love Emma and I love Mr. Knightley and I love their relationship, I love everything that Martha chose because it just fits together so perfectly.
Can you tell Mr. Knightley's my favorite? I love him.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I love him too.
Yeah, Mr. Knightley's so great as well.
He's husband material. Like, I feel like Henry Crawford used to be my favorite, and I I love, like, I think the banter and the flirting would be so great. But if you just want, like, somebody who's going to be so great, lifelong partner, that is Mr. Knightley.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree. I think I've come to appreciate Henry Tilney and Mr. Knightley so much more as I've, like, grown up. Like, I think initially, like, sometimes you jump at, like, kind of the surface level. People, like, you know, like, oh, Mr. Darcy, because he, mm-hmm. you know, because you know that character so well. Or, yeah, but then eventually as you grow up, you're a bit like, yeah. And also you just grow to hate Edmund even more. There's no redeeming Edmund, I'm afraid. Like, I'm going to have to try in an episode at some point, but I've not grown to love him in any way.
I love that Tilney doesn't have, like, the exact gender stereotypes. Like, I think that's just so, like, so crush-worthy for me. Like, when a guy doesn't have to, like, stick to those, like, manly man, like, stereotypes. Like, back then, reading novels was such a woman's thing. And the fact that he can just – that's like saying, like, whatever, pick any show that – any television show that anyone makes fun of is too girly. You know, that's him, like, defending it and being like, no, I love that. Or, like, I love Legally Blonde. Like, I feel like that's that kind of – that's, like, that kind of statement for back then. And then the fact that he can talk about, like, fabrics and everything. I don't know. I just think that he's just not restricted by, like, what society thinks of him or, like, the typical gender roles that society has said that he has to stick to. So I've always loved that about him.
I totally agree. He's super self-confident in who he is, and he's genuinely not. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get fussed about, like, what other people might think, and I think that's such a great quality and a good thing for Catherine to learn as well. Yeah. So I love that about their, like, dynamic. But that's pretty much everything, guys. That's everything. We've covered all of the novels there, and we covered a lot of the albums. I actually, in prepping for this, I forgot how many albums Taylor has, because I feel like you just get caught up listening to the songs that you love. When I went back through, I was like, holy moly, we have a lot. There is a lot to go through here.
Yes.
But I love it. And I've really enjoyed doing this with you guys. So thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it was really
good.
Thank
you for having us.
It also made me laugh when both of you checked that we knew the debut songs. I know every single song. And I have in my playlist. My playlist has all the albums, and I listen to it on repeat. So all the early songs, like, I don't even remember this one. I definitely do.
I know, I thought that when the first time I said it, and you were both just like nodding, and I was like, yeah, okay, of course they do. I'll just carry on. Like, I kind of picked an obscure song here.
I still listen to her debut album sometimes. I think it's so much fun. Like, it's very country, but it is so much fun.
Yeah, I've got a couple of my like favorite songs on that, like Mary's Song. I really like that one. I think it's like a couple of, like, country storytelling. And I've always had a big soft spot for Our Song. And Teardrops on My Guitar and Tim McGraw. I think those four are, like, my favorite from the album.
Yeah. Awesome is such a good one. I do like Tim McGraw as well. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I feel like her first album was very, it wasn't very nuanced in the words that she used. It was very much like, this is exactly what I'm talking about in the lyrics. And I feel like as time's gone on, she's become more of a poet. But I do love going back to that one. I think it is a really fun album.
Yeah, definitely.
So guys, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you? Obviously there's other episodes they can find you as well. I did the Disney villain and the Disney princess episodes with Anne in the past, and me and Martha, we did Bridgerton, and also we did the Halloween episode last year, which was Mysteries of Udolpho and kind of looking at how that's influenced Northanger Abbey, which all of those episodes were so good. Like, definitely go back and check those out. But I'll let you guys just let everybody know where they can find you after this episode.
So I'm on Instagram, and my handle is Martha Bethan Reed. I also have a TikTok with the same name, but that's a bit more varied, and there's some book stuff on there, but also a lot of Formula One stuff. So if anyone's also a Formula One fan, I post about that and Taylor Swift on my TikTok. It's very varied.
I love it. We're all multi-passionate people here. It's cool.
Yes, definitely. The best place to find me right now is my Instagram, Paper Hearts Library. It's paper.hearts.library. And it's my Bookstagram account. I like to make book reels with Taylor Swift songs. And if you watch, or I guess I should say listen to the Disney episodes, I still have my Disney YouTube channel, which is Princess Lessons. I pop on there every once in a while. I don't make as many Disney videos as I used to because I am not going to the parks as much, but you can find me either place.
Yeah, that's everything from us. If you want to see some of the behind the scenes stuff, have some more Jane Austen content or just see a sneak peek of the next episodes coming out, go ahead and follow me on Instagram at WhatTheAustin, because I share everything like that on there. But that is everything from us, and we will see you in another episode.